Okay, it's 12:05, which, see, we now want to go home. we want to stop right now because
we're hungry now.
Andy from Hamilton Fine Foods has dropped in some pies.
He has.
And they're ones that we don't have to cook. They're already warm. And what have we got there? I think we've got a Cornish pasty.
Sausage roll.
Chicken and ham pie.
And steak and ale.
Phew. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.
Bye.
a couple of things. Just before, because I don't... This isn't part of the subject matter, but I think we need to bring it up and I think we need to discuss it.
Okay.
Because we were chatting about it off air. Now, you know, at some point, people are going to think, oh, not politics again. Okay, but it's just a fascinating thing that we were just sort of talking about. And I would imagine that, you know, lots and lots of people out there are talking about it. Lots and lots of people out there are bored to death of it. And they're probably in the opinion that it doesn't matter who's in charge. There's just, you just substitute one idiot for another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think my wife put it perfectly 5 years ago. Every 5 years you get the opportunity to vote for the next dictator. So, and that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
And we were just saying that next Wednesday we've got David Goodall. Now, he's the Liberal Democrat guy for the parliamentary... He's parliamentary candidate for the Isle of Wight come May. Now, he's the only one that we haven't had in so far. So it was only announced a couple of weeks ago that he was actually going to be standing. So we've got him in. He's coming in next Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we were just saying... You were saying... I think, I don't want to put words, you kind of suggested that they aren't going to do very well nationally.
Uh-huh.
And I said... Do you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if they actually did brilliantly well on the island. Because I don't know what it is about the Isle of Wight this time around. I still believe that Andrew Turner will get 20,000 plus votes. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's my belief. I've got my ear to the ground.
Okay.
And from what I make out, you know, I think that Andrew has kind of united the Conservatives for this period of time. Whether or not they're actually going to support him in the future, but I think they're all like, because there was the row, the argument a couple of weeks ago, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Is he going to, is he not? And it's all gone a bit quiet.
Mm-hmm.
He'll get 20,000 votes, okay? When you look at the others... I think we had Mr. UKIP in a couple of weeks ago. Personally, I think that he'll do okay. I don't think he's going to do as well as what people expect him to do.
Mm.
And I just think there's a surprise in the making. And I think the Lib Dem guy is going to do all right. Now, I was just saying, and I've got to say this, and I really want to say this, because we almost have to be sitting on the fence and don't have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've interviewed them all, with the exception of David Goodall.
Yep.
At this moment in time, my opinion is that Ian Stevens is the best man for the job. He's more qualified than anyone else.
In what respect?
With the exception of Andrew Turner.
Yep.
Because he's one of those guys that... Because you can't just say, right, okay, I'm going to be the MP. Right, now what do I do? Because let's be honest, just say, for instance, if you said, right, I'm going to be the MP... And we all said, great, good on you, Bex, and we all vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're now the member of the Parliament for representing the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
Do you know what you've got to do?
No. Frankly.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And this is why I think most people should really seriously sit down and analyse locally. Forget nationally, because we're not voting nationally, we're voting locally.
I think one of the things that you've just done though has raised a really interesting question, which is, do any of us know exactly what MPs actually do? How much power do they wield? I mean, if you consider that we're going to be electing as an island representative for us,
yeah,
as the island,
yeah,
how much power, how much persuasion, how much, you know, are they going to have? If they go up to the Isle of and say, look, the Isle of Wight, we're really suffering with, you know, we've got an influx of the elderly because a lot of people like to retire here. We've got issues over roads, Does it make any difference who actually holds the power? I mean, my big concern, Ian, is with the big parties, is that politicians have stopped representing their electorate, if they ever did, and represent their party.
I agree.
And that's who I want to see go to Westminster, someone who will stand up there and make a nuisance of themselves And, you know, someone who's good at grabbing headlines, good at saying, listen, the Isle of Wight isn't rich. We're not part of the southeast kind of boom of millionaires. We're actually very poor when you consider.
I agree with that. But at the same time, I think there's no point in voting someone in that has no clue about the job. And that's not, I'm not trying to do anybody else a disservice here. But when you talk to, you know, people like Andrew Turner's done the job for X amount of years. He knows how it all works and he knows what you've got to do. Okay, now I'm not suggesting that we all vote for Andrew Turner, but equally I look at Ian Stevens and I think, right, okay, you've been a leader of the council in difficult circumstances.
Yeah. He's done his apprenticeship, hasn't he?
You're now working in other areas, member of the LGA or something, where he's going to get funding for this and funding for that. So he's made contact with people that are can help.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, okay, you've got a member of the council there that has run the council. He's been doing this for years. He's put budgets together and so on and so forth. That qualifies him for the job. Equally, Stuart Blackmore is another guy that has worked within town councils, so he would have a rough idea of how things work.
Yeah.
There are other people that I look at and think, right, okay, where are your skills? If we vote for you, because look at it, if you take the politics out of it, you're employing one person out of six. Which one are you going to employ?
I don't know.
Are you going to employ a lady who, I think, getting round to Vix Lowthian, I think Vix has very cleverly put herself in with a shout.
Definitely.
Purely and simply because she's put herself out and about there. People are now talking about her. 6 months ago, they didn't know her from Adam. Now people know who they are. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that's a good thing, but I think that it is an important thing, because when you go and put your cross, wherever you're going to go and put your cross, the worst thing that can happen is, I don't know who he is. Or I don't know who she is.
Yep.
You know who Andrew Turner is. You know what he's given you for the last X amount of years. You know who Vix Lowthian is, because she's been very vocal over the last couple of months.
Yep.
David Goodall, we don't really know who you are, because you've only just announced that you are going to be standing as a Lib Dem.
Yep.
Okay, the Lib Dems done well last time. Doesn't mean to say they're going to do well this time. You may be hampered by what happened 5 years ago. Ian Stevens is an independent. Okay, he's a member of the Independent Council, and I think the Independent Council have done a brilliant job with their hands tied when it comes down to the funds.
Talk about poison chalice, hey?
Absolutely. And it wouldn't have mattered if it was a Conservative Council that had taken it on, you know, you'd have had the similar kind of problems.
Yeah.
So take the politics out of it. Who's the best person for the job when it comes down to it?
You see, I don't know, because you could say people like Ian and Andrew, you know, they've done their apprenticeships. They know, if you like, the job of politicians and what politicians do. But I'm thinking, I'm sick and tired of politicians right now. I'd quite like freshness, maybe some naivety, maybe some learning on the job, because if people are bright, they can. Does that make sense?
Yes. But this is not like, you're not going to put this person on the shop floor and deal with the customer service and, put her on a till and do something. We're talking about an MP, and we need to get the best out of this MP. This is the one person we're going to put in the big house, and she's going to be, or they're going to be, our spokesperson, and they need to play the game, and they need to know how to play the game.
I agree. But I guess in some ways, for me, it's not about voting for the politics or the personality. It's about voting for the person whose policies I agree with will do the best for us as an islander.
And that's what I know that I should sit on the fence, and I am sitting on the fence, because what I am saying is that Andrew Turner is qualified to do the job because he's done it for X amount of years. Some people might say, well, he's not done this and he's not done that, and that's fair comment in some aspects.
Yeah.
Okay, then you've got, you know, Stuart Blackmore, or equally I think he could do a job because he's got knowledge of how things work. Okay, but Ian Stevens, for me, out of the six so far, is the man that is more qualified. Okay, and he's got fire in his belly, but not many people know the situation as it is at the moment, because, you know, it's almost like he's only just put his hat into the arena.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that I speak to, they've no idea who he is, what he is.
Yeah.
And I'll say again, you know, when it comes down to it, if people don't know who you are or what you're all about, they're not going to vote for you. But that doesn't stop him from being... See, this has evened itself out. That doesn't stop him from being the best man for the job.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just an observation.
Yeah.
And just to remind people, we've got David Goodall coming in next week. And I just got a funny feeling that the Lib Dems might surprise a few people on the island.
I don't think so. I think they've cooked their goose.
Yeah, I think that. But also, equally... No one likes being bullied, do they?
About bullying. I mean, I don't know David, and he's probably a fantastic guy. It's the Liberal Party that I have an issue with personally, as someone who was quite happy when they formed a coalition with the Conservative government, because I thought, well, at least they'll put the brakes on. Yet they've allowed all these hideous things to happen to the NHS and to education and the care of our elderly welfare. They allowed all of this to go through, and now they're saying, well, we think that's wrong, and we will do this. And you think, you had 5 years, matey.
Mm-hmm.
You had 5 years to force situations, and you never did it. So why on earth would I believe you now?
No. I can't disagree with that at all. And I think it's just going to be interesting. The way we love British people love an underdog, don't they?
Yeah, we do.
And I think...
Which I think is why Vix might do very, very well.
I think she's put herself in with a shout, because people know who she is.
But you know what? One of the biggest problems I think we've got, and this kind of leads into sex education, believe it or not, is that we don't teach children about government. We don't teach them about economics. We don't teach them about politicians. We don't teach them about how media works. We don't teach them, you know... When these boys who come from privileged families go off to their Eatons and their Harrows and their others, they are taught this stuff.
Mm.
And so you have people growing up, you and me included, Ian. When did we ever have a lesson at school on politics?
Never.
Government?
No, never.
Economics?
No.
Philosophy?
Not really, no.
Now, all of these guys, they all go off, they do their politics, philosophy and economic degrees, and then they become politicians. There's a way to do it, to qualify, if you like.
Yeah.
And it's not a fair game, because what you're asking is electorate who has not been allowed to be educated to critically think. Like when you pick up a paper and they write a story, you think, well, my knowledge of economics is that's a bit skewy.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. And there's a phrase that someone used, sadly he's dead now, and he's an American comedian who came up with the same thing. They don't want you to question them.
Carlin?
So that's
George
him.
Carlin.
George Carlin.
No, they just want
don't,
you...
They don't want you to question what they're doing.
No, they want you to be just educated enough to work as drones.
Yeah.
They don't want you to actually question, critically analyse and hold people to account, which is why we're getting all this blooming rubbish now. Yeah. Over stupid things.
Okay, should we change subject now? Because we've got politics next week, but it's a fascinating thing in the next couple of months. I can't stress enough. It's really, really important, and people should look at it, take the politics out of it, and look at it as if you are employing the next MP, the next person that is going to stand up and represent you in the House of Parliament. That's the way we've got to look at it. Take the politics out of it. Who's the best person, man or woman, for the job?
I tell you, one thing that I would suggest someone does, if they're interested, and I do this every Sunday, is I buy a Sunday Mirror, my husband buys the Sunday Times, and I also buy the Observer, which is like the Sunday Guardian.
Right.
So you've got, if you like, your left-winger Mirror, middle of the road, independent, Guardian, everyone else says it's left, and then you've got the Times, which is right wing. Look at the big stories and look at cross-reference how they are all covered in the different newspapers.
Mm.
Because they are all designed to make you think and feel a certain way. And then if you can critically sit down and think, hang on a second, you know.
Well, see, I look at that and I think, and I've said this to you before, and this is going to make me sound thick, and I don't mind, because I look at it and think, I don't understand the left wing or the right wing. I really don't. I know that Ronnie Goodless used to play left wing for Everton, and Dave Thomas used to play right wing for Queen's Park Rangers.
But Ian, if you
don't understand it,
but we should.
What I'm saying is, when you get a paper that is put their slant on it, and you buy another paper that has put their slant on it, where at the end of the day, where's the answer to it?
In the middle. The truth is nearly
don't read either of them.
No, but okay, don't read either. But on the other hand, we do have a duty. I mean, schools have a duty to educate us all, but we then have a duty to educate ourselves. We should never ever stop trying to educate ourselves.
No, that's true. But the trouble is, when it comes down to it, you're probably looking at a Tory paper and a Labour paper, and you look at it and think, right, OK, am I going to get a fair... you're not. You're
no,
not
of course
gonna
you're
get
not.
It. So when it comes down to it, if you are going to teach this kind of thing in schools, who's going to teach it? Is it going to come from a political side? And that's
no,
the problem.
No, it shouldn't. But, I mean, anymore, you know, they do religious studies. So, and you learn about the basic tenets of Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism... Islam and stuff like that. You learn the beliefs of each religion, and politics should be taught the same way. This is what capitalism is. This is what socialism is.
Fairly,
yes, of course we can.
Because so far, let's be honest. We look at the way that our media is set up. Do you think our media is fair?
No.
Do you think that when it comes down to having some kind of system put in a school, knowing full well that how unfair our media is, that they can put a fair system in place?
I think it's fairer than doing nothing and actually turning out people who've got no idea what they're voting for and then moan.
They vote for what their mum and dad have said.
Yeah.
How many times have you heard somebody quote somebody and you think, right, okay, that's what your mum said, or that's what your dad said?
My dad said to me, never trust anyone who irons a crease in the front of their jeans. Do you know what I mean? Or puts a cross on their sevens, because that means they're a bit French. I mean... We grow up with these ridiculous belief systems.
My mum used to say, don't trust anybody that writes small.
But do you see what I'm saying here?
And do you know what? That will probably, for years, I used to think, oh, they write small, don't trust them. Because it follows on. And if they say, you know, Harold Wilson was the man, he should have been Prime Minister for a lot longer and so on, that almost like you pass that down to your children. And it's only when your children kind of think, here, hang on a minute, I don't really like what you're saying.
Ian, we could talk for hours about the myth that we are brought up to believe, and it isn't until you get to the point, perhaps when your children have grown up and you actually have headspace to think, that you actually ever look at it and think, what do you mean creases in the front
of their
jeans?
I'm looking out for those creases now.
Especially, Ian, if they had the orange stitching around the bottom as well. That was another bad sign.
Orange stitching around the bottom. Right, OK, I'm looking out for it. OK, well, just to say that David Goodall is in next week. It's the final piece in the jigsaw, really, because we've
Poor
done
man.
Everybody else.
I tell you what, that man's got guts, frankly, because he's standing for possibly... the most disrespected party in the country right now.
Yeah, I see. Equally, I look at it and think, well, hang on a minute, you're a well-supported party with money and it ain't costing you anything, whereas I do know that people like Vix Lothian and Ian Stevens have had to fork out of their own pocket to actually...
As have their supporters.
Yeah.
You know, and that says a lot, I think, that local people are prepared to actually help out.
But when you've got something as unfair as that in place now, you know, when it comes down to, like I say, the media and putting this in schools and classes, I'm all for doing that. I'm all for doing that. But it has to be an independent body that does it. There can't be a political
if they can do
swing
it at the
on it.
Top schools, Ian. They can do it in our state schools. Our children, we've got less social mobility now than we've had for years and years and years.
But when you say top schools, do you mean top schools or
fee-paying schools?
Free-paying schools. Because obviously them, the posh ones that go to the posh schools, they'll be taught something completely different. They'll be taught how to vote Tory, won't they? You know, let's be honest, you laugh, but it's true, isn't it?
Well, let's face it, most of the people who go to the posh schools come from capitalism.
Mm.
So I should imagine they come from a capitalist family, blah, 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 blah. And there is people do, I mean, it's like religion, isn't it? You know, people are born into weird religious sects and they grow up to be those weird religious people who bring up more weird religious people.
Do you want to move on?
If you like.
Okay. We want to.
Was that a polite way of saying shut up?
No, no, not at all. Not at all. I think it's fascinating. It really is. But I just get the feeling that more and more people are just disengaged with what is going on.
I think they're hacked off.
Because it's unfair? The system's unfair?
Because we're fed up with being lied to. For me, it's so obvious. You know, I've got fantastic screenshots from the Tory web things when they promised they would never, ever, ever... David Cameron, having had a disabled son, would never make it even more difficult for parents or those with disabilities. And yet, what has he done to people?
Mm.
You know, he's absolutely decimated their incomes. And so I want them to be held accountable. I want, if politicians make a promise and a manifesto that is a legally binding contract with the people who vote for them, and if they fail on it, we can sue them.
Yeah. That's something we don't do in this country anymore, where people have to take responsibilities
and
for their
consequences.
Actions. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's...
But if I came to you for a job, right, Ian, and I said, I'll tell you what, I'll clean the place from top to bottom, I'll record the news, I'll do the weather, I'll mentor everybody, I'll do everything. I'll be your general factotum. And then I turned up and said, do you know what, I don't feel like it.
Yeah?
You'd fire me. And yet, politicians can give us all these manifestos, break every single one of them, and there is no consequences for it.
Yeah.
None.
It's true. It's true. In the last election, the ones that actually lost their jobs, i.e. voted out, were given a £40,000 lump sum as some kind of redundancy settlement that was tax-free. And then he has the cheek to say, we're in this together.
They're in it together. They are all in it together, mate, not us.
All right, okay. I've never been a smoker and never seen the fascination, but I do have sympathy for those that do. They've been hounded out of public places and now they want to put horrible, disgusting images on packets of cigarettes. Do they show you the damage drink can do on alcoholic beverages, or do they show you pictures of fatty organs on unhealthy foods? Would it make you give up, or is it just lip service? Is topic number one.
It's what I would call a smoke screen. Woo-hey.
A smoke screen.
Yay.
Hey. Shall we take a call?
Let's.
You can hear some noise in the background, but that's unfortunately we are in the process of doing some work to the soundproofing, and in a couple of weeks' time we will be completely soundproofed.
We've got a woodworking room right behind us and it is going to be soundproofed. The thing that made me laugh was 2 weeks, not only did we have this guy had a guy singing at the top of his voice, which
they were hanging on there, the first caller.
Lean back, sorry, we'll answer.
Jeff makes a good point. Jeff Hobbs, it's always amazed me that they say smoking is antisocial, yet drinking is okay. How many have you heard getting into fights after smoking 10 cigarettes or peeing in the street after a few cigarettes?
Okay.
Good point to make. Hi, who's this?
This is Alison from the Priory Bay. Is this Spectres Radio?
It is, yes. Hello?
Can you speak to someone regarding the events, or someone to represent your company?
You say from Priory Bay?
Yes.
Where's Priory Bay then? What's that?
Over in Seaview.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay, you've actually come through to the on-air debate.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to phone back after 1 o'clock, that'd be great. Or you could plug whatever it is you want to plug now.
Well, we're hosting a wedding showcase on Saturday at the hotel between 11 and 3 p.m.
Okay.
So it's for potential brides-to-be to come along and see the hotel.
Okay, so that's between 11 and 3 on
Saturday. Saturday the 14th, yes.
Okay, and is it free to get in?
Yes, it is, yep.
Okay, brilliant. Well, you've just done that. If you want to send us an email so we can publicise it as well, feel free. The address is studio@...
vectorsradio.com.
That's it.
Perfect, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Maybe we should ask her whether she was a smoker or not, but she didn't sound old enough.
Oh, she sounded so sweet, didn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she did. So, anyway, Kelvin says, I agree, Jeff. Would you cross the street to avoid some lad smoking, or would you... if they were drinking... I mean, it's a good point to make, isn't it? All those lads over there, they're smoking, they are. I'm going to cross the street. I'm not going to speak to them. All those lads are over there drinking. Which one is he going to avoid?
The drinkers.
Exactly. Exactly. Are they being hounded out? You're a smoker. How do you feel? How do you feel?
I've got to the point where I even feel guilty if I smoke in my own home now.
Yeah, but why? Does your husband smoke?
He's given up. Right. That's probably why, actually, because he just goes on and on and on.
that could be genuine and not genuine. That's fair enough, because you. But if he smoked, would you still feel guilty?
No. I have a real dichotomy. You know, I have two views about this. The first is, I don't think, in some respects, I completely understand why it's unacceptable to smoke in restaurants and some pubs. However, I think they should have been allowed to have smoking rooms.
Right.
Or smoking pubs. You know, make a choice. This is a pub where all the smokers are. This is a pub. And also, I think that they're too draconian. They're now trying to talk about not smoking in public places. And I've been to a hotel where you're not even allowed to smoke outside on the balcony.
Right.
But then it's bad for you. It's really blooming bad for you.
So's drinking alcohol.
So's drinking alcohol.
So's jumping out of a plane with a parachute.
Exactly, exactly.
So's crossing the road.
All right.
But I'm just trying to stick... I'm not a smoker, but I'm trying to stick up for the smoker. And what the damage has been done. I mean, you know, the fact that all these pubs have closed...
I know.
You know, up and down the country, we've put a knife into a business, a thriving business. We put the knife... Do we know what we're doing?
No.
Let's be honest, you drive down a road in a car that's got fumes coming, you know, there's a great big load of smoke coming out.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Honestly, I just think it's gone to the point of stupidity and beyond. Hi, who's this?
Hello, it's Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
With the smoking thing, I mean, I don't smoke, I've never smoked, but I think why they're getting a hard time, and I do think it is that they have had a hard time, with drinking and all the rest of it, yes, there are horrible consequences involved with drinking and eating all the fatty foods. But I think that the point with maybe smokers might have got hit a bit more is that they can actually directly affect people's health within their company, can't they, with passive smoking. Whereas you're not going to catch liver disease from a drinker, are you?
No, that's a good point. And people might say to me that I've, you know, oh, you're sticking up for the smokers. I actually had a stepfather that died of emphysema. So maybe I should be one of those people that would be, you know, oh, no smoking, let's ban it. But I'm not. I just think, hang on a minute, at some point we're all going to die anyway.
But I think when it's perhaps children are involved and parents smoke perhaps in a confined situation, which they used to years back... I'm not sort of defending the drinkers or anything like that, or say the people who choose to eat burgers and chips every day all day long. There are consequences to everything we do in life. But I think with smoking, you can, without realising, I think affect the people around you health-wise. I could recall before they banned smoking in public places, I used to resent it so much. Perhaps washing your hair, going out, putting some nice clothes, and coming back and smelling like an old ashtray when it wasn't my fault. I hated that. So I actually don't mind the smoking ban in public places. But I do feel for the people who do smoke that it must seem terribly unfair.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think anybody who smokes, and I am a smoker myself, but I wouldn't dream of smoking in a room with children or in a car with children.
Well, that used to happen, didn't it? You know,
absolutely. Do you know?
You go to a pub and you come back absolutely reeking, your clothes and your hat, even your fingers, your hands, everything would smell. And I that would put me off going out. I'd go out to pubs.
My mother...
very reason then, because I couldn't stand coming back and smelling. smelling so horrible.
My mother was a heavy smoker, and she used to smoke when we were in the car, and I used to always get car sick anyway, but she used to tell me how lucky I was, because at least she wound down the window.
Yeah.
That when she was a child and her father smoked in the car, he used to keep all the windows up.
Yeah, it's horrible. I can remember, my parents, and I can remember sort of thinking, I'd be frightened to take a breath.
Oh, I know.
And it was horrible. So I think they actually, although a lot of people say if your parents smoked, you smoked, I think because my parents did, I didn't. Because I couldn't bear the smell of it all, and what it, you know, trying to gasp for breath, as you say, in a confined space.
I have to say, my three sons, they're all adults now, none of them smoke, and indeed, they're all kind of nagging me bandy to give up.
It is a difficult one, and I appreciate it. It's hard for people to give up when, you know, at the end of the day, it's something that you do rely on and depend on. I can understand it, but I do feel that with drinking and with eating chips and burgers every day, you're not actually giving your family a disease, are you?
No,
or
but Jackie,
giving them
having
a health risk.
Having lived in as part of a family that when my mum was an alcoholic, I can tell you that had a much more effect and impact on us emotionally than her smoking.
Yeah. It's a difficult one, but I do think it is a shame that, you know, it does seem to have made the pub sort of, you know, decline their business, and I think that's a shame, because pubs should be really nice places to go to, and they are. I know they have these sort of like smoking areas, but that's all very well in the summertime, but it can't be very pleasant when it's, you know, freezing cold or blowing a hoolie outside to have to sort of go outside and be made to feel like a leper. And I think that's not reasonable.
Yeah,
but it's a difficult one to deal with, I think.
Well, the biggest problem in our country at the moment, supposedly, is we're all poor and we've got financial problems, and yet we shoot ourselves in the foot by saying, right, we're going to ban smoking from pubs. You know, we've got pubs now up and down the country that are closing hand over fist. We've got another stupid law in this country which allows you to go into a shop on a Sunday morning, you can put it all in your basket, okay, and at 9:30 you're done and dusted, but you can't pay for it until 10 o'clock. Again, we're hampered. We've shot ourselves in the foot.
I think the whole the rule system needs complete overhaul, doesn't it? I wonder which party would be brave enough to introduce changes in the law. None of them, I would suspect.
None of them. Unfortunately, that's the sad state of affairs are that, you know, these laws have needed changing. You know, numerous laws have needed changing for so many years, and yet nobody wants to change them.
It would be quite interesting, wouldn't it, for someone to throw out a potential referendum on the general public, do a survey on what they would like to see, which laws they'd like to see reformed.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Okay, thanks for your call, Jackie.
Okay,
enjoy
your day.
And you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye, take care.
Honestly, crazy. We've shot ourselves in the foot. And again, if we follow this through, just say, for instance, I don't think it's going to make a blind bit of difference to most people when it comes down to, we're going to put some horrible pictures on some cigarettes. It ain't going to work. It's lip service. But honestly, it's ridiculous. And if they really, really thought that was going to work, they would be quaking in their boots, because the knock-on effect would be phenomenal. All of a sudden, if we all gave up smoking tomorrow, we'd be bankrupt, wouldn't we?
We would certainly be quite a few billion short in the treasury,
and that's money we can't afford to just chuck down the toilet.
Well, I think it's about 7 or 8 billion they get from taxation on tobacco products in this country, and the NHS is currently, we're running at a £2 billion deficit. So do the numbers.
Wouldn't it make more sense to say to people, right? Okay, you can keep your pub running if it's a non-smoking pub. That's fine. No, non-smokers are allowed to frequent that pub. If somebody wants to open up a pub and it be a smoking pub, people should be allowed to open up that pub, let people come in. And if you are a non-smoker, put up or shut up.
Yeah, I think there should be choices. You know, I think we should be allowed to be grown-ups and have choices. We are being increasingly infantilized, treated like children, and that infuriates me.
I can see. Take one more call before we go to a break. Hi, who's this?
How you doing, Ian? It's Jay.
Hello, Jay. How are you?
All right, yeah. On the smoking thing, I'm a smoker, and if I was emperor for a day, I'd ban it completely, outright. There's nothing good about it. It stinks. Rots your teeth, rots your gums. You're a burden on the NHS when you get ill through it.
Which you pay for.
And for what? To increase sales and GDP for who? For the owners of the tobacco companies.
You're taking one for the team, aren't you?
It's just can't. I honestly, as a smoker, just as as a human being, I literally can't tell you anything good about it. I can't say, oh, well, It calms my nerves. It pacifies me. I enjoy it. I can't even say that. I think maybe out of every 100 fags over a period I would smoke, maybe one of them wouldn't bother me as much as the other 99. I mean, if someone can tell me something good about smoking, then I'll listen to it, but I can't think of a single thing.
Why are you smoking?
Well, yeah, exactly. Beyond that initial stupidity, I mean, yeah, I accept that, and it is stupid. Well, the bottom line is it's addiction, because it's extremely addictive. I think they run tests on the old, the mix, not just nicotine, is it? It's the mixture of the benzenes and the, there's a whole catalogue of chemicals in there. But they run tests on it before, and the addiction of a cigarette is, I think it's about 5 times more addictive than cocaine.
Have you read Alan Carr's Give Up Smoking book?
No, I haven't, Rebecca, no.
I'm halfway through it now. And my husband bought it for me for Christmas, bless him. And I'm halfway through it now. And actually, it's working, is the only thing I can say. And if you can get a copy, you can pick them up all over the place. Just read it if you can be bothered. Because actually, he makes you think.
Oh, yeah.
Very differently about smoking. And you'd be surprised, honestly.
Well, I know people that have... the old, the old follow this thing in front of your eyes, go to sleep. Oh, the old hypnosis.
Yeah.
That's worked for people. But I'm a character that I'll go cold turkey, Rebecca, and just go through it. Well,
that's what he will tell you to do. He'll tell you to smoke throughout the whole book, and then you'll find going cold turkey easy. And I'm halfway through the book, and it's suddenly my mind is changing when I'm listening to you saying to me it's the addiction, it's this, it's that,
it
and
is
the other.
Though, isn't it?
No, it's not.
You don't think that the body metabolism level adjusts to the chemicals?
Not necessarily. I think quite a lot of the time the hype around the addiction of nicotine and everything, if you think about it, has been very, very cleverly placed into our minds by fantastic advertising by people who produce tobacco.
Yeah. Well, there's also the, doing things with your hands and, you know, the whole, you sort of preoccupy your mind with the whole process, the whole symbolism of going through that ritual of having a fag, lighting it up, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But on the thing with it, I was interested to hear both of you say that the country would be bankrupt if we
Not bankrupt, but we would certainly lose a lot of money. I think they're saying it's between £6 and £8 billion in taxation this country gets.
Yeah, and then how much of that, you might know, being involved with the NHS, how much of that is then offset with medical problems that's then loaded onto the NHS?
Well, if you think, Jay, that at the moment the NHS is in deficit by £2 billion.
That's a whole can of worms, isn't it?
Yeah, that's another can of worms. But if everyone stopped smoking tomorrow and we lost, say, £6 billion, let's be conservative, let's not, that would cause quite a lot of problems financially. I mean, you've got to add not just smoking, but you've got drinking, you've got eating, you've got not exercising, you've got people playing rugby and breaking their legs. We're human beings. We all do stuff that creates problems for us.
Sure.
And the whole idea is that we pay into the NHS because at some point in our lives, probably we're all going to need it.
Yeah, but that deficit, right? We could uphold that deficit, that $6 billion intake from tax, or whatever, no problem. Because people don't realize we have a sovereign central bank in this country, and we can print money for ourselves at below market rate. And that's a fundamental that most politicians and economists, actually, for that matter, miss.
Mm.
Because I don't know, why is this deficit creeping up? We can cancel that in a heartbeat. That's the whole idea of having a central bank.
Well, the whole idea of the deficit, basically, is to keep people in their place, let's be honest.
Austerity.
Yeah.
But we can wipe that austerity at a heartbeat.
Well, you and I both know that, and I think most people who've done any reading recently will be aware of what an absolute con this austerity is.
But we need to stop repeating things like, you know, oh, we need to do this because that balances that and that balances that. What we need to do is do the right thing. That meant banning smoking because we don't want our children catching emphysema, lung cancer, and all
absolutely
the rest of it. Then let's do it. And at some point, maybe it will take a generation, two generations, but it'll be as culturally non-accepted as drink driving is now today. As it never used to be, you know, it was quite the norm back in the 60s and 70s.
Personally, Jay, I don't think we should ban anything. I think we should allow people to do what they want, when they want, with their bodies. It's up to them.
I think that's a legacy of... it's a throwback from sort of sky god religious thinking that we have freedom of choice and freedom of will. We don't. We have natural laws and, you know, things that we should be abiding to, and we're not. We're violating and breaking every single one of them. It's why the environment's knackered. Yeah. It's why we're unhealthy. We're not paying attention to the fundamentals, and that's because we don't get taught them at school. We do wander around as if we've got carte blanche just to do what we want, and we can't. We literally can't. It seemed like we can for a while.
We
had the energy to get away with it, but once that diminishes, we're going to be taught a brutal lesson.
See, I'm with Bex on this. I think, you know, if you want to smoke, smoke. And as long as you're not blowing smoke in children's faces.
Hang on a sec.
If you want to smoke, smoke. If you're not blowing smoke in kids' faces and people's faces, then that's fine. If you want to drink, drink. We're all going to die at some point. The fact that, you know, if we really think that if we can eradicate all of these diseases and we're all going to die of old age, natural causes, it ain't never going to happen.
Have you noticed, by the way, that no one ever dies of old age anymore?
But
Fred, 94, died of pneumonia. Gladys, 102, succumbed to a heart attack. No, they died of old age.
But why do you think, Ian, that's an interesting point, if I want to smoke? Why do I want to smoke? Because Rebecca touched on it earlier. It's the constant barrage of advertising and cultural acceptance. Other kids see adults doing it. The adults do it because they were brought up in that environment, and there's a constant barrage of advertising to do it. We're very susceptible to advertising and symbolism and things like that. It's not to get, I mean, you know, born as an innocent babe, I don't necessarily, not going to want to smoke, I'm not even going to want to drink as such. It's just our culture has pinned a huge amount of its economy on that. So therefore, it pays them to advertise to encourage the next generation to do it. I wouldn't say it's a case of wanting to, it's a case of being duped into it.
Yeah, I can say that there's probably a massive element of truth in that. I mean, look at the phone culture. Look at the you know, that is another
epidemic.
That's just another epidemic. That's it.
Most people are wandering around doing things and partaking in things that they don't necessarily, they haven't thought about it. They're just doing it. Do you know what I mean? It's just because it's like a trend, and who sets the trends? You know, it's not us. It's not the individual Joe Blogs on the street. You open up the magazine. Oh, that's the trend. I'll jump on that. That's someone else's thinking. Someone else's, you know, financial dynamic. They're doing the thinking for you. And that's where the old, you know, educated just enough to perform scenario comes in.
Yeah. Are you saying that the majority of people in this country can't make up their own minds and shouldn't be allowed to, then?
I'm saying... Hang on. Well, that's an oxymoronical question, isn't it? It can't make up their own minds and shouldn't be allowed to. Because what I'm saying is I speak to loads of people, Ian, and they say to me, literally, oh, I ain't got time to think about it. And people literally don't, from work to paying the bills and sorting the kids and sorting the car and do this at the weekend, or they literally don't have time to think about anything. And that's why we're so ignorant, and I mean that in the nicest possible way, of politics.
But do you smoke because you want to?
Not necessarily. No. I've got to override that and say, yes, I am, because, you know, I could stop that at any point I wanted, really, I suppose. I just go cold turkey on it, you know. I could do that.
So with all due respect, why are you blaming someone else? Because you can't get... you are, because you're saying it's the TV's fault, because it's on the television, because people are telling you to smoke.
As far as the hook with children and things are concerned, and adults displaying that to kids, then, yeah. Because when did it start? I mean, there's a guy, Edward Bernays, he was... the nephew of Sigmund Freud, and he kicked all this off during the, I think it was the 20s or the 30s, and he paid a couple of top models of the day to smoke at a Hollywood catwalk thing. And the next day, it was all over the papers, boom, what do you know, tobacco sales go through the roof and have been climbing ever since. It's completely contrived.
Wait, well, I also remember, and I've seen some fabulous advertisements with Dr. Brooks smokes camels because it makes his chest feel good.
Yeah, mouth from that. Yeah.
You know.
All of that stuff. It's all about a portrayed image of being something else. I mean, old James Dean with a fag hanging out his mouth.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And the word cool is everywhere. It depicts anything but cool, you know. So, I mean, we are influenced. I'm not blaming anyone. I am saying that I have the right to notice that I've been manipulated and say so, you know.
But now, Jay, what you have to say is you have the right to manipulate yourself.
Can you manipulate yourself?
You can. Of course you can.
Don't know.
You've got your own mind.
You can allow someone else to do it and be tricked, but I don't know if you'd be consciously aware that you've tricked yourself. That'd be a bit of a head jam, wouldn't it?
give it a go. Let us know.
You hear the ambulance is taking me up to Sevenoaks in a minute.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for your call. Cheers now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back with more in a moment.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
Need your appliances pack tested? Call the local experts, West White Audio. Reasonable prices and all-island coverage. Give Kelvin a ring on 0800 118 2484 for a no-obligation chat. Email info@westwhiteaudio.co.uk or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
Hello there, I'm Andy from Hamilton's Fine Foods, and I'd like to introduce you to some of the new things that are happening in Hamilton's. Our newest venture is our new shop in Dodner Industrial Estate, where we have available hot sausage rolls, hot coffee, hot pies, and all sorts of other things for your lunch. We're open from 10 till 4 daily. If you're working in and around Dodner Industrial Estate, please call in.
Where do you go for a wide range of animal feeds, accessories and lots more? Sandown Pet Store are the island's premier store for all your pets' needs. We are open 6 days a week on St John's Road, Sandown. Telephone 01983 407788 and speak to Paul or Wendy for a friendly and reliable service.
Cats Protection and Ride has been caring for and homing cats on the Isle of Wight since 1961. Every year we help hundreds of island cats find their new forever homes. If you are thinking of adopting a new feline friend, then come along to the Isle of Wight Adoption Centre and we'll be happy to help you. We have cats of all ages, colours and personalities so we can find a cat for you. Find us in Marlborough Road Ride or check out our website isleofwight.cats.org.uk for more information. We're open Wednesday to Sunday 10 till 4 with late opening on Fridays till 7. Our cats can't wait to come home with you.
Vectis Radio is giving you the opportunity to thank your mum with a special Mother's Day lunch and a glass of wine on Sunday the 15th of March, kindly provided by the Winter Gardens at Ventnor. And a beautiful bouquet of flowers courtesy of Isle of Wight Flowers in Freshwater. To have a chance to win this wonderful prize for your mum, you need to do the following. Log on to Vectis Radio's Facebook page or email studio@vectisradio.com and compose and write a message, 100 words maximum, why your mum should be the one to win this wonderful prize. Andy Knight will then select the lucky winner on Friday the 13th of March in his mid-morning show. Why not show how much your mum means to you by winning this competition? Good luck.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Do you know what I think is really, really, really funny?
Go on.
Is that during the commercial break, yeah, you've rolled yourself a cigarette.
I have. I've manipulated myself.
See, it doesn't bother me at all.
It really doesn't bother me if people say, you know, we've got to get over ourselves a little bit.
You know me, I'm a complete libertarian. I think people should be allowed to do what they do, when they do it, whenever they like, with whoever they like, as long as there's consent, and as long as it's not hurting
anybody else
or impacting anyone else.
And let's be honest, you're a smoker, you're going to have a cigarette, you're not going to blow that cigarette over people.
I'm not allowed to.
No, but you wouldn't anyway.
No,
that's
of course
the point.
I
wouldn't. So, you know, it's almost like, oh, we've got to control this because you don't. People just need to take responsibility for their actions.
People need to be treated like grown ups. You treat people like children, they'll act like children. And they'll go, well, it's not my fault I smoke.
Yeah.
It's not my fault I
drink
too much.
Like Jay just then.
It's not my fault I only eat fat food.
This is the way the world is, and this is why I get annoyed. This is why most people our age have got less tolerance of people that are idiots. Okay, people that are blaming everybody else for their own misfortunes. You got a footballer last week that was spitting. His manager came out.
He didn't know
in
he
defense.
Was spitting.
He didn't know that he was spitting.
Oh, bless.
Bless him. He didn't know that he was spitting.
Well, fine. There's probably a disorder. You know, like Tourette's. There'll be a spitting version of that.
Yeah.
Or something now.
Honestly, people just need to take responsibility for their actions, and be safe in the knowledge. And I'm sorry if this upsets anybody, but at some point you're going to die. You might die of a horrible disease, cancer, if you're a smoker. There is a risk of that if you are a smoker. I'm sorry if that offends, but that's true. Equally, if you never smoke in your life, you may get run over by a bus and you still may get cancer. Sadly, them's the facts. You're on this planet once. Live your life. As long as you're not stamping all over everybody else, live it.
And be happy.
Exactly.
Be nice.
Shall we
be
leave
kind.
It there?
Be happy.
There's a song there.
Yeah. Can't remember it though.
But honestly, I don't understand why people have this hang up of the fact that you've got all these things on the packages. They show you the pictures. They still smoke. They know the risks. Just like everybody else, you know the risks.
Yeah, it's a bit like when they put the adverts on for wine on the telly and it goes, blah, 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 have all your friends around, drink lots of wine, and then it says, drink responsibly. As if that's going to happen.
Yeah, no big picture to say, this is what your liver's going to look like if you drink for 20 years, you know, in a jar. You know, honestly, it's just... Pickled liver. There you go. I'll be selling that in Tesco in a few years' time. Anyway, should we leave it there?
We should.
Just to remind you that next Wednesday we've got David Goodall coming in. He's the Liberal Democrat parliamentary candidate for the Isle of Wight.
And we're going to be very, very nice to him.
Because he's a local boy.
Because he's a local bloke.
And we think he's going to get a rough trot anyway.
Do you know what? I admire anyone who throws their hat into this arena. Seriously.
Would you ever think about doing it yourself?
Yes, I would.
Why don't you then? Too late now, because I think, you know, you need to be established.
I know.
You need to be, and this is why I think certain people have come in too late.
I'm in the contemplative stage, but I do believe you have to do it properly. I do believe you have to be a councillor first and stuff like that, because obviously you need to know what you're doing.
You've got to have a manifesto, haven't you, for starters.
Ooh, I'll try and think up one for next week, shall I?
Yeah.
You too.
I've got plenty.
All right. Okay.